Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Trish reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Development. Midland continues to attract space business. 12 companies are in discussion for projects, Interflight Global Corp. Chairman tells MDC Board, by Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN at MRT.com. The popular nickname Tall City could take on new meaning as the Midland International Air and Spaceport continues to attract new commercial space business. Midland sits at the center of a hub with six spaceports licensed by the Federal Aviation Administration. Oscar Garcia, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Interflight Global Corp., told Midland Development Corp. board members at their monthly meeting on Monday. Interflight has contracted with the MDC to help procure tenants for the Spaceport Business Park. Three tenants, Avalon Space Technology and Science, Nano Avionics, and Kepler Aerospace, already have set up shop. The three companies, which have taken up occupancy at the business park since 2018, have created over 200 jobs. Garcia said 12 more companies are in active discussion for projects ranging from a hotel at the airport to manufacturing both civilian and military aircraft and spacecraft. He said he expects 3 to 6 more companies in the near future. Citing delays caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, Garcia told board member Jill Pennington he is confident at least 3 more will be signed by the end of 2021. Rather than attending trade shows, Interflight brings 3 or 4 companies at a time to Midland to visit the facilities. 50 companies already have visited, and additional familiarization trips are set for October and December. Garcia said, a specialized high-speed flight workshop is planned for February. Midland, with its skies considered to be among the clearest in the nation to fly, is drawing interest from the commercial space industry, he said. That industry is forecast to grow to $1 billion globally and $600 million a year in the U.S. by 2030, according to Garcia. The airspace offers a lot of space where companies can fly vehicles, test and research hypersonic vehicles, and launch rockets, he said. Already the home of Space Mobile, the world's first direct-to-cell-phone satellite constellation, Midland could also be home to the first point-to-point spaceflight, which has never been done before, Garcia said. Noting that Spaceport America in New Mexico is only 250 miles from Midland, he said high-speed vehicles are expected to fly from Midland to Spaceport America next year to demonstrate what the space corridor could look like. We aim next year to hold the demonstration from Midland to Spaceport America and back on the same day to prove it's possible. In another presentation, Lori Rice Spearman, president of Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, updated board members on the expansion by 20% of the university's physician assistant program with Midland College. The MDC contributed $5 million for the expansion, while State Representative Tom Craddock secured a $20 million grant, requiring Tech to raise another $5 million to build a 32,500-square-foot facility on the Midland College campus. The last 6 months, we've been working diligently with our architects, as well as the team here in Midland and the stakeholders, to ensure we're partnering well with Midland College to promote the program on campus. The new building will include several labs that can be used by nursing students around the Permian Basin, including an anatomy lab so that students no longer have to travel to Lubbock to use Tech's state-of-the-art anatomy lab. The final architectural drawings will be presented to the Tech Board of Regents next month, and a groundbreaking is expected next spring, Rice Spearman said. MISD, co-chair, committee controls what it can control, by Stuart Doreen, sdoreen at hurstonp.com. The Citizens Renaming Committee is one vote away from determining its top choice for the new name of Robert E. Lee High School and Lee Freshman School. The committee has narrowed its list to 3 names: Midland Legacy of Equality and Excellence High School, LEE, Midland Tall City High School, and Midland Carver Lee High School. The committee cut the list last week from 5 to those 3, with Legacy of Equality and Excellence and Tall City High School distancing themselves from Midland Carver Lee School, Lee High School, 9 votes each and 2 for Carver Lee. Committee co-chair Shannon Lowe, a mother of 4 current or former Lehigh students, said all these names will go to the board and the vote Thursday determines the order of preference. She said if there's time, the committee will move on to recommendations for mascot and school colors. There's no guarantee that the board will accept the first recommendation from the committee, which is the reason for 3 recommendations. Midland ISD leadership will present those recommendations to the board for final approval no later than October 19th. Lowe said a few weeks ago that she and co-chair Blake Felt approached board president Rick Davis about names that would not be considered. Davis responded, according to Lowe, that dropping Robert E. from the current name and keeping Lee would not be acceptable to him. He did not know about the other board members, she said. Lowe said the committee is taking care of what it was assigned to do, come up with recommended names. She said while there are members with differing opinions, each member has been provided equal time to weigh in on the topic. We are controlling what we can control, Lowe said. We are a committee put together by the school board. We represent them and our work is for them. As far as us coming to the board with recommendations and completing the task put before us, I feel good about what we have done, regardless of the recommendation. County Sheriff's Office to Hire Training Coordinator by Caitlin Randall, CRANDLE at MRT.com. The Midland County Sheriff's Office will hire a training coordinator effective October 1st. The new position was approved by the Midland County Commissioner's Court on Monday with a salary of $86,000. Commissioner Robin Donnelly said during the meeting the training coordinator would help officers with obtaining the continuing education requirements necessary for certifications. And also, this is going to help us out in avoiding lawsuits based on what's going on in the world right now, he said. Most of the discussion on hiring a training coordinator was done during executive session that was not open to the public. Commissioners on Monday also approved purchasing services from a plumbing company to do work on the county's jail pipe system and connect it to sewer water, according to a representative from the sheriff's office who spoke at the meeting. The purchase was approved without going out for bid because of the urgency in getting this project completed for the health and safety of our employees and the inmates, said Commissioner Luis Sanchez. The sheriff's office was previously put on notice by the Texas Commission on Jail Standards for multiple issues with its plumbing system, including toilets and showers that didn't work. They received a non-compliance notice in February during an annual inspection. A re-inspection in July found many of those issues were still ongoing, according to a report from the TCJS. Additionally, on Monday, the Commissioner's Court approved the purchase of a site for a MCSO radio antenna on Midkiff Road. The location is part of an ongoing project to upgrade the department's radio system. An employee with the county's IT department previously told the Reporter-Telegram the county was adding 3 more towers and upgrading to a newer system. The project will allow MCSO to connect more easily with the Odessa Police Department and Ector County Sheriff's Office and will improve communication for patrol officers on their portable radios. The next regular Commissioner's Court meeting will be at 9 a.m. September 28th at the Midland County Courthouse. A public budget hearing is scheduled for Monday. City, coronavirus cases decreased to start the week. The Midland Health Department is reporting a decrease in the number of coronavirus cases to start the week. The Health Department reported on Monday 28 new confirmed cases. That is fewer than the 3-day average last week of 35.25. Because of the Labor Day holiday, weekend numbers were not reported until Tuesday. Health Department officials reported 33 cases on July 31st. Monday's new cases are reflective of lab results from Friday through Sunday. The Health Department also reported that the number of active cases fell to 1,086, a drop of 133 from Friday. And the number of recoveries increased to 2,111, an increase of 141. The number of coronavirus-related deaths remained at 77. The total number of coronavirus cases during the pandemic is 3,469. Texas reports 2,595 new COVID-19 cases and 21 more deaths. Dallas. Texas health officials on Monday reported 2,595 new cases and 21 deaths. The Texas Department of State Health Services said the total number of COVID-19 cases so far in the state is now at 663,445, while the death toll is now at 14,211. The true number of cases in Texas is likely higher, though, because many people haven't been tested and studies suggest people can be infected and not feel sick. Health officials estimate that about 68,000 cases in the state are currently active. There were about 3,300 people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Texas on Monday. Health officials said the number of hospitalizations has been decreasing since the peak July 22nd at 10,893. For most people, the new coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause severe illness, including pneumonia and death.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, September 15, 2020. Staying hydrated. Volunteer Matt Hood encourages Kevin Fox as he comes up to a water station on the Midland College campus Saturday morning at mile 21.5 of the Boston Marathon. The April 20 race was canceled because of the pandemic, but virtual events are being held worldwide. Local qualifiers' times and distances were recorded through GPS devices and submitted to the Boston Athletic Association, which will distribute medals, finishing t-shirts, and the marathon jackets. In Midland, the 26.2-mile course began at Stonegate Fellowship and ended at King and I Restaurant on North Big Spring Street. Meetings today. Hospital District, 11:45 a.m., Administration Boardroom. Online, midlandhealth.org. Midland College, 4 p.m., Rotary Community Room, Cowden Dining Hall. Gas prices. Midland-Odessa gas prices have fallen 7.1 cents per gallon in the past week, averaging $1.95 a gallon Monday, according to Gas Buddy's daily survey of 156 stations. Gas prices in Midland-Odessa are unchanged versus a month ago and stand 47.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. The following are gasoline prices in Midland-Odessa for September 14, going back 10 years. 2019, $2.43 a gallon. 2018, $2.98 a gallon. 2017, $2.55 a gallon. 2016, $1.96 a gallon. 2015, $2.06 a gallon. 2014, $3.21 a gallon. 2013, $3.36 a gallon. 2012, $3.75 a gallon. 2011, $3.52 a gallon. 2010, $2.61 a gallon. Source, GasBuddy.com. DPS's Midland office adds Saturday appointments. The Texas Department of Public Safety has added Saturday appointments at select driver license offices, including the Midland Mega Center, for customers needing to renew or replace their Texas DL or ID cards. Participating offices will offer a limited number of appointments on Saturday and September 26. The offices will be open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Nearly 700,000 Texas DL ID cards expired while the offices were closed because of the pandemic. By offering Saturday service for renewal and replacement appointments only, DPS is working to provide customers with expired cards an additional option to handle their DL transactions. The department anticipates adding more Saturday appointments in the coming months. Bush Home needs tour guides. These select area volunteer opportunities and events are provided by MSS Connections, a program of MSS made possible by the Warren Charitable Foundation. For more information, visit mssconnections.org. George W. Bush Childhood Home is looking for tour guides. Volunteers can work 1 3-hour shift each month, or as much as they want. Shifts are 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. or 1:30 to 4:30 p.m., Tuesday through Saturday, and 2 to 4:30 p.m. on Sunday. Training is provided, no experience necessary. Call 685-1112 for more information. Jubilee Center of Midland is needing volunteers for stocking and on pantry day. Call 520 0671 for more information. Gifts of Hope needs volunteer for upcoming events. Victory Run Event, Saturday. Pink the Park Flag Display, October 1 through 31. Pink the Park Event, October 17. Pink the Park Flamingo Flock Tribute Display. Call Fatima at 218-8714 for more information. Health Department is providing services. The Midland Health Department is providing clinical services by appointment only. Appointments will be scheduled from 8:15 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. Monday through Friday. In addition, the Health Department will have an immunization clinic 8:15 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday. Appointments are required for immunizations. To schedule an appointment, call 681-7613. When it's open, Midland County Public Library, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Curbside pickup at Downtown Branch, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Obituaries for September 15th. Francie Thorne Murdoch. Francie Thorne Murdoch, 80, of Midland, passed away on September 3rd, 2020. Services will be held at a later date to be determined. She is survived by son William Murdoch, his wife Vanessa, and son Carson of Montgomery, Texas. Daughter Dana Vadden Rockrow and her husband Brent of Edmond, Oklahoma. Son Chance Murdoch and wife Courtney and son Hudson of Lawrence, Kansas. And granddaughter Alex Murdoch of Lewis Center, Ohio. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Lone Star Sanctuary for Animals at 4200 North Fairgrounds Road in Midland at 79705 or a favorite charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Jimmy Wiley Buffalo Hayes. Jimmy Wiley Buffalo Hayes, 65, of Midland, passed away September 9th, 2020. Services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, September 16th, 2020, at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery in Midland. Jimmy is survived by sisters Janet Hayes, Rita Hayes, Mary Hayes, and Jane Ann Mueller. Brother Wilbur Hayes, nephews Brandon Hayes and Ryan Hayes, and numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. The family would like to express their gratitude to Carl and Carol Jones, friends he worked for and socialized with for 44 years. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be donations may be made to the NRA or a charity of your choosing. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Laura Frances Ezell. Laura Frances Ezell passed away on September 11th, 2020. Surviving her are her son Thomas and wife Barbara of Midland, Texas, son David and wife Patty Ezell of Rankin, Texas, grandchildren LT and wife Carmen Ezell of Midland, Texas, and Dwayne and wife Kara Ezell of Houston, David Ezell Jr. of Oklahoma, Derek Ezell of Oklahoma, Lori Ezell and Nicole Williams, both of Midland. Francis had 10 great-grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. A graveside service will be on Wednesday, September 16th at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park with Reverend Mike Bartlett officiating. Services are entrusted with Ellis Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to the West Texas Boys Ranch, which was her favorite charity. Russ Miller. On September 11th, 2020, Russ Miller peacefully passed into heaven in Midland, Texas. He was a 1992 graduate of Robert E. Lee High School. He is survived by Kathy Miller Tolbert. He was the love of her life. Russell is survived by his stepfather, Ross Tolbert, his nephews and best sidekicks, Christian Costilla and Antonio Bermea. Loving uncle and aunt, Mike and Barbara Miller, all of Midland, Texas. Also surviving are his cousins, Matt Dina of Argyle, Josh Miller of Prosper, and precious children, Kennedy, Peyton, Lily, Huxton Miller. Visitation is on Monday, September 14th, 2020, at Ella's Funeral Home from 6 to 8 p.m. A celebration of his life will be held on Tuesday, September 15th, at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven with Reverend Mike Bartlett officiating. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to Lone Star Sanctuary for Animals in Midland or an organization of your choice. Thank you from the family to the sixth floor nurses at Midland Memorial Hospital and the staff at Midland Medical Lodge and Hospice of Midland. Yvonne Gamboa. On September 11th, Yvonne R. Gamboa passed away, born in Big Spring on March 2nd, 1962. She is survived by her husband, Efren Gamboa, her children, Joshua E. Gamboa and Robin Torres, and husband, Francisco, her grandchildren, Lily and Olivia Torres, her mother, Eva Rodriguez, her sisters, Linda Rodriguez, Irene Armendariz, Yvette Rodriguez, and Victoria Davis. Additionally, she is survived by numerous nieces and nephews. A brief memorial will be held at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery Wednesday, September 16th at 3 p.m. All COVID-19 safety protocols must be followed, as COVID-19 was a contributing factor in her death. Graveside service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Death notices. Guadalupe P. Moreno. Guadalupe Moreno, 78, of Midland, passed away September 11, 2020. Funeral services will be held at her hometown of Ojinaga, Chihuahua. She is survived by her husband, Ramon Moreno, daughters Margarita Galindo, Manuela Duran, and Adelia Gonzalez, sons Omar Moreno, Ramon Moreno Jr., and Mario Moreno. Arrangements are under the direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Hilda Garcia, 37, of Midland, passed away Thursday, September 10th. Viewing will be Monday, September 14th, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary starting at 3 p.m., and a Christian service starting at 7 p.m. Monday evening at the Heavenly Gate Chapel. A funeral service is set for Tuesday, September 15th at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. She is survived by husband Manuel Gonzalez, son Jose Juarez, and three daughters, Cynthia Juarez, Kendra Gonzalez, and Cassandra Gonzalez. Her parents, Hilda Garcia and Raimundo Garcia, two brothers and two sisters. Trinidad Guevara Gonzalez. Trinidad Guevara Gonzalez, 71, of Midland, passed away September 10th. Visitation will be held Tuesday, September 15th, 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, with a Holy Rosary being recited at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held on Wednesday, September 16th, 2020, at the Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish at 10 a.m. Interment will be held on Thursday, September 17th, 2020, at Fairview Cemetery, 10 a.m. She is survived by her husband, Romaldo Gonzalez, son Eric Gonzalez, four sisters, and three brothers. Arrangements are under the direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Front page. County resuming criminal civil trials. County vote on raising property taxes is today. OA News at OAOA.com. During a special 10 a.m. meeting today, Ector County Commissioners will consider designating Barn G in the County Coliseum Complex as the setting in which long-delayed jury trials will be held. District Attorney Bobby Bland said Monday that finally conducting trials after a six-month delay during the COVID-19 pandemic will first necessitate a thorough review of the arrangements. My office has been open with a full staff since May, and we have been indicting cases and putting them into the system, Bland said. We've been doing the best we can to move cases through with plea bargains and other means, but not being able to try them slows things down. We're still doing hearings and things like that. The Texas Supreme Court and the Court of Criminal Appeals have laid out certain requirements that we have to meet, so it must be done in accordance with those guidelines. It will require a lot more logistical steps to make sure everybody is safe. Bland said masks will be worn and social distancing observed, but the 6-foot distancing standard could be problematic when large pools of prospective jurors are called. He said grand juries have continued to be held because spacing wasn't a problem with the 10 to 13 member panels. When we do have a trial like this, it has to be fair to both parties and allow the proper result so it will withstand any appeal, Bland said. Barn G is on the north side of the Coliseum grounds and is spacious with 24,000 square feet of floor space, a Coliseum official said. County Attorney Dusty Gallivan said Judge James Rush of the 244th Judicial District plans to convene the first trial in Barn G with a civil case. District court trials are conducted with 12 jurors, while the trials prosecuted by Gallivan and his staff have six-member juries, except for felony cases with juvenile defendants under age 17, which have 12. It will be up to the court at law judges, but I don't expect to move forward on any misdemeanor trials until after the Christmas holidays, Gallivan said. I don't know how many defendants are waiting to plead or go to trial because we haven't had any docket calls. We have been having arraignments, pre-trials, probation revocations, and guilty pleas. The county's other district judges are Dan Whalen in the 70th District, John Smith in the 161st, W. Steady Trotter in the 358th, and Sarah Kate Billingsley in the 446th. Court at law judges are Christopher M. Clark and Brooke Hendricks Green. In other business today in the Commissioner's Courtroom in the County Administration Building at 1010 East 8th Street, the Commissioners will stage a final review of the county's fiscal 2020-21 budget before its scheduled approval at their regular September 22nd meeting. Judge Debbie Hayes said the court, quote, will be available to consider tabled items, policy matters, and long-range planning after the resumption of trials is discussed. An ad valorem or property tax rate of 36.9 cents per $100 in valuation was set August 25th, with the commissioner saying the new rate would raise the same amount of revenues as the current 36.5 cent levy. Most homeowners will see a property tax increase as appraisals for most in Ector County have gone up. Counsel to Finalize Tax Rates by Michael Merlo, M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. The Odessa City Council will vote on six items during today's in-person work session, including final votes to increase water, sewer, solid waste, and tax rates. The work session will be held at 10 a.m. today in person in the Devonian 1 and 2 room at the Odessa Marriott and Conference Center, located at 305 East 5th Street. While Council will discuss nine items and also convene in executive session, they will also vote to finalize changes to sewer, water, solid waste, and levying the tax for the 2020 tax year and 2020-21 fiscal year. Council voted unanimously on the first approval of rate changes during a virtual council meeting on September 8th. The ordinance to raise water, sewer, and solid waste would up rates by 2.5%. Assistant City Manager of Administration Services Cindy Muncy said during a previous meeting that, quote, the water and sewer rates are being increased to allow for us to increase our repair and replacement of our deteriorating water and sewer lines. A chart detailing water usage showed that while a 2,000-gallon-a-month user currently pays $51.62, that would be increased to $52.91 with the rate change. Council will also vote on the second and final vote to levy the tax rate to 47.7115 cents per $100 property valuation for municipal maintenance, operations, and debt service. The current tax rate is 47.6601. although the city is reporting this as the no new revenue rate, it is the effective tax rate that includes added amounts from higher appraisals and new property. A previous OA article detailed that many in Odessa have reported tax appraisals coming in at 8 to 12% higher than they were last year. A higher appraisal means higher taxes if the city doesn't drop the tax rate to bring in the same amount as they did last year. Odessa Director of Communications Devin Sanchez detailed in an email that because the water, sewer, solid waste, and tax rate changes are all second vote items, and the tax rate had to have a final vote 7 days after the first vote, it, quote, was easiest to just take all of the budget items at that time, today, for the final vote. Sanchez also wrote that council is transitioning back to in-person meetings, and decisions whether to meet in person will be decided on a case-by-case basis according to what is on the agenda. Quote, we figured we would have citizen turnout because of the rate increase, so this gives them an easier venue to come voice their opinions, she said. Council will also vote on amending the Water Conservation and Drought Contingency Plan and purchasing public safety replacement laptops and equipment for $268,723 during the work session because, quote, they are trying to get them pushed through to meet a deadline, Sanchez wrote. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 4,473. Ector County negative, 20,698 out of 25,493 tested, with 322 pending. 87 deaths. Recovered, 3,796. Active, 590. Midland County, 3,441 confirmed cases, with 77 deaths. Texas, 659,434 confirmed, with 5,550,139 tested. Total Texas deaths, 14,190. U.S. cases, 6,745,605 total confirmed, and 198,897 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Pop Spot Show. Pop Spot Show, benefiting the West Texas Food Bank, has been scheduled from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. today and from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. Tickets are $20 for today's preview shopping party and may be purchased at eventbrite.com/e/pop-spot-september-show-tickets-11721049-6751 or email midland-popspot@gmail.com. Admission is free for Wednesday. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/y6AO4OKG. Free COVID-19 testing. The City of Odessa, in partnership with the University of Texas Permian Basin, has scheduled the second round of free mobile COVID-19 testing events at the following times, dates, and locations. Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., McKinney Park, Christmas Line, 625 West Poole Road. September 23rd, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., UTPB Park Soccer Field Parking, East Loop 338 and Highway 191. September 30th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Sherwood Park, East 49th Street and Cordova Street Parking Lot. October 14th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Floyd Gwynn Park Parking Lot, 1015 North County Road West. Events are for City of Odessa and Ector County residents, first come, first serve. Only 200 tests will be administered at each event. Participants must remain in their vehicle with the window up until a testing team member approaches you. Bring ID. No appointments or pre-registration required. Children as young as 3 years old are eligible for testing. For more information, call 557-6557. That's 557-6557. Or visit www.odessa-tx.gov/COVID testing. Volunteers needed. OANews@OAOA.com. Casa de Amigos is seeking for volunteers who can help with online GED classes using Zoom. There will be orientations with more information from 9 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Thursday and at 5 p.m. September 21st. For more information or to register for orientation, email ebarnes@casadeamigosmidland.org. Visit facebook.com/casadeamigosmidland.org. Page A6, OAOA.com. Poetry gathering goes virtual. OANews@OAOA.com. Alpine. The board of the Lone Star Cowboy Poetry Gathering voted to postpone its February 2021 in-person gathering until February 2022. Until then, Lone Star will broadcast one or more 90-minute, professionally produced, virtual cowboy poetry events. The February 2020 inaugural Lone Star Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Alpine had more than 2,100 in attendance. Then, within weeks of the inaugural Lone Star Gathering, the pandemic hit, producing uncertainty for 2021's gathering in Alpine. Quote, "We believe a series of virtual cowboy poetry events will keep the gathering alive, fresh, and actually happening, although in a different form, and get us through the pandemic, however long it continues," event producer Bob Saul of Fort Worth said. The board approved a plan Thursday evening to begin filming for one or more virtual events. Saul said he discussed the idea of producing online poetry gatherings with co-chairs Gene and Kay Nowell, rhymes with Powell, and with John and Erica Moore, who all have years of experience producing live and online shows, both as producers and performers. Quote, "The internet has been crucial for keeping the arts alive and in the public eye through these trying times," John Moore said. Quote, "The internet has also proven to be the most beneficial avenue for musicians, artists, and events to bring in some degree of income as well," said Kay Nowell. Quote, "We will also be able to promote our beautiful home of Alpine and Sol Ross State University, as well as stories and insights from the performers that defines their uniqueness and gives rise to their art. This will whet the appetite for our next in-person gathering in Alpine," Jean Nowell added. The gathering plans a series of online cowboy poetry events. Each 90-minute virtual event will showcase three or four performers. Viewing will be accessed via ticket purchase. Members will get free or reduced-priced tickets. Fans can watch events of their choice over the span of the series. Quote, "Hopefully, we will be back to an in-person event in February 2022, but this can get us over the hump," Saul said. quote, "This is possibly a blessing in disguise because it provides the potential to reach a much larger audience, both geographically and generationally, than our in-person annual gathering has allowed," he said. Quote, "It is not a replacement, but an enhancement, and will call attention to the beautiful Alpine area as well." Trustees consider tax rate ordinance. OANews@OAOA.com. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will discuss and consider approval of an ordinance to set the 2020-2021 tax rate during their meeting set for 6 p.m. today in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The total proposed rate is $1.17 per $100 valuation. That is made up of 1.05470 for maintenance and operations and 0.12322 for debt service, supplemental agenda material says. Most homeowners will see an increase in taxes due to higher appraisal values. Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmers said back in June, the budget and tax rate in newspaper. The board approved the budget back in mid-June, and the proposed tax rate is required to be part of that discussion. "We can't approve the tax rate with the corresponding ordinance until the property values are certified, which occurs in late July," Otmers said in an email. Additionally, for districts that are wealthy and pay recapture, they can't adopt the tax rate until TEA gives them permission to do so, usually in late August. Otmers said, "Luckily, ECISD is not one of those districts at this time." She stated that the tax rate being requested is the same in total as for 2019. The board also will consider an order to cash redeem $5,235,000 in Series 2013 bonds prior to their scheduled maturity, saving taxpayers $3,206,438 in future interest costs, the material says. Otmers said the two bond items are prepaying in 2020-21 $5.235 million of outstanding bonds from the 2013 series, which are due in 2038, which she said would save approximately $3.2 million in future interest costs. Refunding for a lower interest rate in 2020-2021 on $66 million of outstanding bonds from the 2013 series, due in 2026 through 2036, will save approximately $13.4 million in future interest costs, she stated. Trustees also will consider a number of campus improvement plans, local policy updates provided by the Texas Association of School Boards, and agreements. ECISD and UT at Austin request approval to enter into a cooperative agreement to implement OnRamps, a distance college course, through a dual enrollment model. UT at Austin will provide training for high school teachers who work alongside the UT professors for implementation of select courses. This opportunity allows high school students to earn their high school credit from their district and the opportunity to earn college credits from the University of Texas at Austin through a distance education course. ECISD is also requesting approval for the data sharing agreement between the district and UT at Austin. This agreement allows ECISD to provide individual student-level data to the Office of Strategy and Policy at UT at Austin for the purpose of implementing, billing, and evaluating the OnRamps dual enrollment program. Likewise, UT at Austin, in accordance with FERPA, Federal Privacy Regulations, agrees to provide individual student-level data to ECISD for evaluation, accountability, and student record-keeping, supplemental material said. A report from the Tax Ratification Election Committee also is on the agenda. Passed in 2018, the TRE financed new roofs, buses, safety measures, and other items. A discussion of the superintendent's evaluation and contract and a district safety and security audit report are also up for consideration. On the net, tinyurl.com/y6lj52jx. Sales tax down. OA News at OAOA.com. The City of Odessa received a $3,747,565.32 September sales tax check, which includes the economic development sales tax of a quarter of a cent. The City of Odessa will receive $2,998,052.26, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $749,513.06. Medical Center Hospital detailed in a press release that they will receive $2,965,033.84. The city saw a decrease in sales tax revenue, with September's sales tax revenue total of $2,998,052.26, which reflects a $1,646,173.28, or 35.45%, as compared to September 2019. The release shows that the year-to-date total sales tax revenue for fiscal year 2019-20 is up 17.25%, or $7,094,294.78, as compared to budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. The 2019-20 year-to-date amount is below the previous fiscal year-to-date amount by $10,813,490.82, or 18.33%. The city has budgeted $41,100,000 in net sales tax revenues for this current fiscal year. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax revenue from 2 months prior to collection. September's collection is based on July sales. Cop briefs. Man charged with assaulting wife. OA News at OAOA.com. An Ector County Sheriff's Office affidavit detailed that a 38-year-old man was arrested after he assaulted his wife 3 times since August 2019. Jose Angel Ramon was charged with continuous violence against the family violence, a third-degree felony, and assault by impeding breathing, family violence, a third-degree felony. The most recent assault reportedly happened at 9:17 p.m. August 14th in the 5800 block of West University Boulevard. Ramon was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Sunday, jail records show. Deputies made contact with 47-year-old Gloria Sue Ruiz Ramon, who stated she was assaulted by her husband, Ramon, at his residence located in the 3000 block of Mercury Avenue, the affidavit stated. Ruiz Ramon reportedly told deputies that she went to Ramon's residence to drop off their youngest children for his weekend visitation. She stated Ramon took the children out of the vehicle and sent them inside. Ruiz Ramon stated Ramon walked around to the driver's side of her vehicle and began questioning her about the clothing she was wearing, the affidavit stated. Ruiz Ramon stated she told Ramon it was none of his business and to move out of his way. Ramon reportedly reached through the window of the vehicle, placed both hands around Ruiz Ramon's throat, and began to squeeze, which caused her to lose consciousness. Ruiz Ramon stated when she woke up, she was confused and saw Ramon standing outside of her vehicle laughing. Ruiz Ramon stated Ramon has assaulted her at least 2 other times since August of 2019, causing her bodily injury, the affidavit stated. Ruiz Ramon stated the contact was unwanted, offensive, done without her consent, and caused her physical pain. Ramon has two bonds totaling $20,000 and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon, jail records show. Moody Blues tribute concert planned. OA News at OAOA.com. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center has scheduled a live-streamed Go Now Moody Blues tribute concert with Gordon Marshall, a drummer with the band for 25 years, at 2 p.m. October 17th. The link will be emailed to you 1 week in advance and accessible for 2 weeks after the original air date. Visit https://www.wagnernoel.com/for tickets. A news release said Marshall knew that there was a hunger in the market for Moody Blues music. To fill the void, he put together a group of musicians and formed the band Go Now! A tribute to the music of the Moody Blues. Mick Wilson, the lead singer of Go Now!, was the lead singer with 10cc for over 20 years. Gordon and Mick are joined on stage by Patrick Duffin, Ryan Farmery, and Nick Kindle, and together recreate the magical music we all know, including all the major hits. The live-streamed performance at the Harlequin Theatre in London marks the first time since early spring that the band will come together and perform on stage with a brand-new, never-before-seen concert. West Texas Food Bank donation. Odessa American. OA News at OAOA.com. The West Texas Food Bank received a donation of 15,000 pounds of food from Bimbo Bakeries USA earlier this month to help families throughout the Permian Basin and West Texas. The donation from Bimbo Bakeries was made in partnership with Walmart and Tyson Foods through Feeding America. This is the fourth year in a row that the companies have joined forces to make such a donation. A news release detailed that the companies combined to donate 5,000 pounds of bread and 10,000 pounds of protein, set to be distributed in the coming weeks. The food equates to about 12,500 meals. The West Texas Food Bank has distributed 5.9 million pounds of food over the last 5 months due to the coronavirus pandemic. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Obituary and death notices. Obituary. Jimmy Wiley Buffalo Hayes, Midland. Jimmy Wiley Buffalo Hayes, H-A-Y-S-E, 65, of Midland, passed away on September 9th, 2020. Services will be 11 a.m. Wednesday, September 16th, 2020, at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery, Midland, Texas. Jimmy was born on September 20th, 1954, in Seminole, Texas, to Wilbur and Orilla Hayes. Jimmy enjoyed going hunting and collecting guns. Jimmy is survived by sisters Janet Hayes, Rita Hayes, Mary Hayes, and Jane Ann Muller, brother Wilbur Hayes, Georgia, and nephews Brandon Hayes and Ryan Hayes, Rachel, and numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. Jimmy is preceded in death by his parents, numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. The family would like to express their gratitude toward Carl and Carol Jones, his wonderful employers, and friends whom he worked for and socialized with for 44 years. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the NRA or your charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Guadalupe Garza, Odessa. Guadalupe Garza, 71, died Thursday, September 10th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Irma Ellen Hobgood Ham, Odessa. Irma Ellen Hobgood Ham, 78, of Odessa, died Sunday, September 12th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Joseph Arthur Miles, Jr., Odessa. Joseph Arthur Miles, Jr., 69, of Odessa, died Friday, September 11th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.